Welcome. Jump into the Compassionate Leader Circle podcast, where leading with love isn't just nice, it's genius. I'm Laurel Donnellan.
And I'm Daryl Brown. We'll unpack business strategies infused with empathy and action, driving both profit and purpose. Our world is ever-changing, so discover how the savvy leader wears compassion as their power suit.
It is my great honor to introduce Mark Anthony Lord, who's my dear friend and my teacher and so many things to me, my brother. he is a spiritual leader, and he is also the co-founder of Living the Course, a global Course in Miracles community. Mm-hmm. Welcome to Compassionate Leader Circle podcast.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
So we met a while back when you were leading a big spiritual community in Chicago, and mm-hmm. I was a member of that community. It was called Bodhi. It was amazing. And we've become friends since and colleagues since and have done some things together. And today we're going to talk about, we'll see where we end up, but we're going to talk about compassionate leadership and forgiveness. And so I will just start off with saying, you know, in studying leadership and studying compassionate leadership, the definition I've landed on for compassionate leadership is using your head and your heart to influence and inspire others so that they can go on and be leaders themselves. And I have seen you do that over and over again with many people as a teacher and as a leader. And one of your passions is this practice of forgiveness.
Yeah.
And so my question is, how did you get to this point of having forgiveness as a passion?
I will gladly answer that, but I want to actually respond to this idea, Laurel, about your definition of compassionate leadership is using your head and your heart. And I love that. And this is why I think forgiveness is so vital for compassionate leaders, because the head filled with resentment, regret, and judgment becomes a foggy machine at best. The heart, filled with regret, filled with judgment, filled with pain, becomes a place that is kind of broken and insecure. So really, to me, your definition makes me say forgiveness required, because to use the heart, you want them to be purified. You want them to be at optimal operating systems. And to me, forgiveness is what does that. It's like the car wash for you.
I love it. So without forgiveness, we may not have compassionate leaders.
Well, it's hard to really discern, because you're using a head that's foggy. You're using a heart that's blocked. So I use my head and my heart. Yeah, but are they optimal instruments? You know?
I mean, just from my gut, I would say no.
Right. All of us. Every one of us, you know, like, because we want to use the best thinking that we have. We want to use the best compassion that is in our heart, and this is the beautiful thing about being a leader, is we are called to do the work first, because I can only lead as well as I am. I can only go as deep with someone as I have gone deep with myself. We all know that, right? So the more forgiveness, purifying, healing that I do of my mind and my heart, the more available I become for present moment solutions, present moment compassion, present moment leadership.
Yeah.
So
beautifully said, beautifully. So I'll come back to my, I love it. I'll come back to my other question, which is what happened in your life that brought you to being so passionate about forgiveness?
Yeah, it was very, very pivotal. I was in my early 20s and very, very into, very addicted, had moved to Chicago away from college and just went down the dark road of addiction, and woke up like I was about 25, I think I was 25 years old, woke up in a private treatment center in Northern Canada. My parents had sent me there. I don't remember how I got there. And literally I was like, what am I doing here? And I'm out of here. And they opened the door and they said, go, the closest city is an hour by car and it's, you know, freezing cold in January. So obviously I stayed and it was about, I mean, it saved my life, but a couple of weeks in, I was meeting with my counselor there. And as I was leaving her room, she said, hey, Mark. And I turned around and she said two things. She said, she goes, you need to get a new God and you need to learn how to forgive or you're going to die. And it pierced my soul. It was like this, like she just said the words that turned something open inside of me. And it just became, that became my passion. That became my entire life because I saw suddenly it was like, wow, my relationship with now God, higher power, source, universe, I don't care what you call it. Mine was broken. I had no faith and I didn't feel a connection. And I didn't know what the heck forgiveness was. And I found out pretty quickly in exploration, most people don't. The human definition and understanding of forgiveness is limited at best. And it's something that just gets flung around. Oh, you should forgive. Oh, you should have forgiven that by now. Just forgive that. And people even put nice little quotes on Instagram and Facebook about forgiveness. But the actual practice of it is I have found profoundly transformational when you really give yourself to it. And so, you know, at 26 years old, I'm making this my passion. Who knows what forgiveness is? How do I do this? So it's been decades of practicing, decades of teaching others, and decades of really feeling the profound healing that it has given me.
So how do you define forgiveness?
I define forgiveness as something mystical that is done unto you, not something that you do.
And so is the practice getting ready for the mystical, or how do you go about teaching someone about forgiveness or helping someone else?
Yeah. So the first thing is to really get them to recognize that you can't do it. And to really, there's like a powerlessness. There's like a I surrender required because it's the idea, you know, the Einstein theory, you can't solve the problem at the level of the problem. And I often use the analogy of if I'm walking down the street and I fall down a 30-foot hole, I can want to jump out of the hole all I want. I can think I'm going to get myself out of this hole. But the bottom line is I'm 30 feet down and I don't have that capability. But what I can do is I can yell for help. I can ask for help. Someone passing by will hear me. They'll send a ladder or rope down and they'll help me get out of the hole. To me, that's what forgiveness is. It comes from your higher self, the part of you that is true and that is not in the story of being a victim or hurt or broken. It's the part of you that can lift you out of the pain body and transform it for you. So and this is what's challenging, Laurel. Forgiveness is much easier than people make it, but it's so simple that I think it's a bit dumbfounding. I don't know if that makes sense. It's too simple.
It's too simple to be mastered. I love this conversation, but let's bring it to an example, right?
Yeah.
So I work with lots of people that are running companies and running teams. And let's just use the example of a manager who is resentful and upset with someone's performance because they're not doing things right.
Yes.
So what advice would you give that person? Because I do think forgiveness could help.
Yes. So let's go here, you know, is the bad performing employee and here's the manager. And in between them is all this story and upset and resentment. And you know, the manager just wants them to get their job done and just do it right. And who knows what's going on with the employee? They might have some issue where they're not performing optimally, but who's ultimately responsible to bring that out of the employee is the manager. The manager has the potential. The leader always has the potential to change the game and to change the story. So the first thing they've got to do is take a step back and go, how is this person, why is this person triggering me? And what is it about them that is in me? Because if it's not about the thing we think it's about, it's not about the job performance. It's really not. If you're chronically triggered, you know, I mean, if it's ultimately that I can do the job, then obviously get rid of them. But if that's not the answer, then it's the deeper call. And that's what compassionate leaders sign up for. We sign up for the deeper call, which means this is a human being that is, their nature is love. I'm a human being whose nature is love. Every story and every construct that is between those two identities is to be either lifted up to truth, forgiven, and released. So forgiveness, the first step for me would be discover what's upsetting, what is triggering me, and realize that that's what lives in me, and that's in the way. And so I can apply the practice of forgiveness upon that idea. It takes real good, like you got to be willing to do self-introspection. You got to know yourself. And you got to be willing to be vulnerable and use the people in your world as mirrors. That's just, to me, that's brilliant leadership. If everyone is my mirror, then I'm always being called to be better. I'm always being called to look at my part, and I'm always being called to be first in doing my part to heal it or release it or whatever, transform it. Does that mean, are you tracking with that?
Yeah, I'm tracking with you. One of the things that comes up for me as a young manager, it used to, I was a workaholic because I'm also very addicted to a lot of things, right? And it would upset me if other people weren't workaholics.
Right.
So it wasn't necessarily about their performance. I wanted them to care and do and work like I did, which is unreasonable to think that people are going to be like you.
But it's the deeper other thing than that. Yeah. But let me jump in because it's deeper than that.
Yeah.
So what you just said that is so important, Laurel, is I want you to not be you. I want you to be like me. I want you to be a nobody and be the thing I need you to be. You have just disconnected from their identity, which makes them an object. You have dehumanized them in your expectations, and that is the least effective way to bring them alive. Now you might as well just have a whip in your hand and be a dog, you know, a dog trainer.
Right. What I've learned as I've matured, I like this. I think I heard this in 12-step programs, this saying that if it's hysterical, it's historical. So if I see myself overreacting to someone just being themselves, right?
Yeah.
Then I can, if I, it's like a, for me, it's like a feeling in my chest. I'm like, I have enough awareness now, enough experience to say, okay, this is not about this person. This is about me.
Yeah.
This is about my story. And there's something, for me, the quicker I can get to forgiving myself and forgiving the other person, the sooner I can just move on. It unclogs the environment.
Yeah, I would change. The only thing I would change in that is I wouldn't say to get you to move on. I would say to get you to connect. Because that's what we really want. We want the connection. Because if I've done my forgiveness work in the morning, I've done my practice, I'm really doing my work consistently. And so I show up to the job and someone who's reporting to me is underachieving or under delivering. And my heart is open. I'm being compassionate. Now I have to reach my goal, and I'm deeply interested in how I can help empower them. Now I care. Now I'm like, tell me what's going on with you. And they will feel seen. They'll feel known. They'll feel like they matter. And it's not manipulative when it's genuine. And you'll get to the solution in partnership much more quickly. But a lot of leaders just want to get the job done. They don't want to take the time to do that. They want to just blah, 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 blah.
Well, I want to connect with people. So when I totally agree. Yes. Sometimes we just want to get onto the next thing, but it's really about developing a community and developing trust and developing love. You know, it's authentic relationships.
And it's vulnerable and it takes time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's also good to use, to fess up to these things and share them with, you know, in a way that doesn't distract you from the person or take away from the person, but sometimes it's good to be vulnerable and share parts of what's going on as a leader. I think leaders often feel like they have to look a certain way, and be, I don't know what, leader-like, instead of just connecting at a human level and finding, you know, finding that connection to whoever they're working with.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, they've got a company that's pushing them to get the job. You know, there's pressure coming at them from both sides. Yeah. So there's compassion for that.
So talk to us about practicing forgiveness. Like, what is, how do you teach someone who may not have it, you know, may not value it? How, where do you start?
Yeah. You know, and this is where ultimately everyone is just going to have something in them that calls them to it, to practice it themselves, because the way it really comes alive is when you prove it for yourself. And the practice is very, very simple. Let's go back to that 30-foot hole. What do? I yell out, I ask for help. So for me, my practice is I ask that forgiveness set me free. I ask that forgiveness set me and this person free. And to me, what that looks and feels like, I am activating some high holy, some mystical system that goes, yes. And then it starts to dissolve the projections. It starts to, suddenly I'm seeing the story differently. Suddenly something shifts and opens. If I'm committed to continue to ask and receive and allow, and what I'm really allowing is my mind to be changed. I'm stuck in an idea. I'm stuck. I'm certain that person is an idiot. I'm certain that person is my problem. But when I ask forgiveness to set me free, what I'm really saying is this belief that's got me trapped is ineffective. It's making the other person not valuable and it's making me miserable. Hope this to become loosened up. Let me become free from this trapped idea. Unravel it so something new can happen. Does that make sense?
It makes sense to me. I am thinking about I have taken your classes and I have seen a benefit from it, but I'm thinking about a listener who may not have experience with believing in a higher power or believing in something mystical.
Yeah. Well, here's the great news. So that's my language, but the reality is it doesn't require your belief. It requires your willingness. So that's a different, maybe that's backing up and sort of saying the same thing, but you know, I don't have to believe that I need air or that I believe in air. I don't see air, but I have enough proof to know that I use it. And I don't need to understand what air is. I mean, I'm sure I was taught in biology or whatever, but I never paid attention. I don't know what it's made of. I don't care. I just use it. And so if that's helpful, like here's an example, again, back to that story. Let's say I've got someone who works for me. Their name is Joe. And it's not working well, there's an upset here, then my morning practice, which takes so little time, would be, I ask that forgiveness set me and Joe free. I ask that my mind be renewed, changed, that I be released from the stories and the blame, that I see my part. I ask that forgiveness, which simply means letting go of the story. I ask that forgiveness help me let go of the stories about myself, about this person, so that something new becomes possible. That's really what we're calling forth. And our willingness to even say that makes the mind go, huh, there's another option here. There's another way to do this. Maybe I can let go of this stronghold.
No, right? I think we can all, no matter what our belief system, no matter what our faith, we can all believe in this idea of letting go. We have all felt resentful, and we've all had the experience of letting go of resentments or letting bad thoughts go, you know?
Well, you know what? This is what I really know more than ever from my own experience and from helping other people. We're just walking around in stories. That's all stories in our minds, stories about ourselves, story about other people. The past told me this, so this is true. Story, story, belief, belief. And like the mind is so filled with them. What's really real? If it's just stories being triggered all day long, who am I? What am I really seeing? You know, it's like, ultimately, like the awakened people, Byron Katie, Eckhart Tolle, I don't know if those names are new to people, but check them out. These are two examples of current day people who have had their minds healed in a mystical awakening experience. They have no stories. They have not one story against themselves or another person. So they just walk. What's new? What's next? It's freeing.
It sounds like they live in love, like in this love bubble.
And profound compassion. Profound. Yeah. Byron Katie is my favorite teacher on this planet for me, because she is the compassion is 100%, 1000% who she is. And it's only because she will tell you, because her mind was healed of all her stories.
Can you just give us a little bit of her stories for people that don't know her?
Yeah, they actually call her Katie, but her name is Byron Katie. And she was a very unwell woman, very depressed, very unhealthy, very addicted. It was in 1985. She was in a treatment center for food addiction. And she woke up one morning and she had a complete spontaneous, what you would call an awakening. But really what happened was the entire past dissolved. She had no stories. They all went pop out of her head. So she's sitting in this moment, everything's glowing, everything's new, like a baby. There's no room, like everything just her. And what disappeared with that was all of her judgments. She had no judgments against herself or any other people, and she couldn't even have one if she tried. So she walked in this innocence and this freedom and this like, oh, you're so beautiful. Like there's stories of her walking down the street, just hugging people. And like she was, it sounds crazy, I know, but check her out. She's a profound teacher, and she helps people heal their own minds. That's key to me. Yeah. That's what forgiveness leads us to self-forgiveness. And that's kind of the harder step, Laura, because it's like, oh, they're the idiot. I just need to, but the world's forgiveness is, okay, well, they're stupid and I'm better than them, so I'll just let them go. Or the world's definition of forgiveness is, all right, well, I'm a victim and I can't do anything, so I've got to be a doormat. I just got to suck it up. So both sides of the world's version of forgiveness is broken. There's a much deeper experience of it.
Let's take this forgiveness idea to sort of a national and global level, because I have been thinking a lot about our government, the divide in our country. And I have this fantasy, wouldn't it be amazing if forgiveness was like part of Congress or part of, you know, part of the practice. What thoughts do you have about that? Like, where do you think forgiveness can go if we embrace it?
Well, it's a really good question, Laurel. And I just got to go. All I can do is go to like the deepest truth. I don't know how to find a different place.
Yeah, of course.
So the world you're seeing is the world that is in your mind. That's all you're seeing. That's it. The judgments, the fear, the hatred, the anger. And what the mind does, because it doesn't take ownership of it, it projects it outward. Oh, it's over there. Oh, it's over there, over there. But where are you really when you're getting afraid? When like you're sitting in your own world, in your apartment, in your mind, upsetting yourself. triggering yourself, watching the news. You know, the problem is if 10 billion people are thinking thoughts of hatred, then everyone's bouncing off each other thinking that that's all that there is. How does it transform? When people realize, if I'm seeing a hateful world, it's because there are hateful thoughts in my mind. If I'm seeing division and judgment, it's because there's division and judgment in my mind. So we back everything up with grace and a lot of compassion, because this isn't about blame or shame, but it is about getting to the core of where the real transformation can occur, which is my mind is crazy. My mind is split. It believes in love one moment and fear the next moment, and love one moment and fear the next moment. And every great spiritual teaching says you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve fear one moment and serve love the next moment and sit there and wonder why you're in this stew of suffering. It's because your mind is untrained and undisciplined, and no one has taught you that that's the problem. So we just toggle back and forth all day long. Story of fear, story of fear, story of happiness, story of fear, story of happiness. Oh, and at the end of the day, you're exhausted because you're whipping yourself around. It's all in your mind.
But don't you think Congress would benefit from forgiveness training? Like, yeah, I agree with everything you're saying, but I think that sometimes we put forgiveness in church and we don't bring it out enough into the world.
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely. I mean, if we could send them away for a 21-day retreat where they really did deep practice, we'd have a much better world. But meanwhile, my part is to go, what am I thinking about Congress? I'm thinking that Congress should change. I'm thinking that they should be different, which means I've got a problem. I know that's crazy, but I don't know how else to get
it. No. I'm willing to be in the conversation because I'm being a little defensive about it. So
it's okay. I like it.
I am concerned. I'm concerned about my country. We won't do the world today. We'll focus on the United States of America.
Well, then write down on a piece of paper, write down on a piece of paper every negative thought you have about the leaders and the country and the judgments, and put your forgiveness attention on that page. Every person that you think is the horrible problem, realize that the only way to do my part is to have my mind healed about that person. Believe me, there is someone, I don't need to name the specific person because we all love our sides, but I've got my side. And I know who that other person that I think is my problem. But at the end of the day, all I get out of that, because by the way, I've never met that person. I don't have their cell phone number. I don't know anything except what the world tells me and information. Sure, I've seen some things, but I don't know their soul. I don't know their story. I don't know the essence of who they're being, because I'm too busy saying that they're my problem. You will never, never, never change the world that way. Welcome the next war.
Yeah. I mean, in a spiritual place, I don't have a side, right? Like I'm just concerned. My side is peace. My side is connection. My side is love. So when I think I could go, that's another show probably that we could talk, you know, about political sides. And I definitely do have a side, but I'm just thinking about, and I will do what you said. I will take that on. I will, you know, write down the list of people that I need to forgive. And there's one on the top of the list that I really, at one point I had a spiritual teacher tell me that I had to pray for that person for 90 days straight. And I did it, and it helped, but it probably needs to be for the rest of my life every day.
You said my side is peace.
Yeah.
That's perfect. So now you know what you want to put your mind upon. So every other thought that is not in the vibration of peace is to be forgiven. Now, this is why people give up, because they say the right words, but when it comes practice, like, oh, if I'm on the side of peace and my mind is powerful, more powerful than I can imagine, and if I really can move mountains from a place of oneness and power and purity, then I must have my mind healed. And every thought that is not in the vibration of peace, there's my work.
I'll take that on for sure.
Me too. I'll join you, because I this isn't about perfectionism. And, you know,
this is the holidays, but it's a great practice, you know.
Yeah. And what I say to people,
just watching.
Yeah, this is important too, Laura. But this is what I say to people. Look, you don't go to the gym last month one time and then say to me today, you know, I don't know what's wrong, man. I went to the gym a month ago. Why isn't my body in good shape? I'd be like, wait a minute, you went to the gym a month ago, one time? That's crazy. That's the same idea with forgiveness. Think about it, going to the gym. It's a practice. It builds on itself. You grow stronger at it the better you do it. And you do see the results over time. But it's not a one-time deal. It is a continual commitment.
It's a daily practice.
Yeah.
So making forgiveness a practice and putting it at the center of your life, what are the benefits?
The benefits, I love that question. The benefits are, number one, it's challenging at first. It's like the truth will set you free, but it will piss you off first. because what's going to happen is you go, oh my God, I've got a lot of attack thoughts in my head. I've got a lot of judgments that suddenly you're going to see them all by your commitment to forgive. Like, forgiveness is first going to go, awesome. Now let me show you the boatload that you've been carrying around. And this could be overwhelming. You'd be like, I can't stop them. Oh my gosh, that's beautiful. That means you're really waking up to your own mind. And so now the practice is to be patient and to keep asking. I encourage anyone, 21 days, do this morning and night, literally for 2 minutes. Set your timer. Everyone can take 4 minutes a day. Close your eyes and say, I ask that forgiveness set me and everyone free. Breathe it in and out. Do it slowly. Do it quickly. Do it intentionally. Do it with your hands on your heart. I ask that forgiveness set me and everyone free. Just make it an invitation and then allow it to guide you. And then you'll become more conscious. And at the end of 21 days, if you're really intentional about it, the benefits will be, you will feel happier. Your mind will be clearer. Your relationships will begin to reflect back to you greater peace and greater understanding. And suddenly you're going to have this conversation with someone that you can't even imagine that you could have got to this place. But because you've been doing your work, an opportunity is going to come in the side door and you're going to solve something's going to be resolved. That's the beautiful part. It's like it causes synchronicity and it causes things to resolve, sometimes with your participation, sometimes on its own. It's mystical.
Yeah. Well, my own experience is just, it feels like it just frees up space. Like if I was a hard drive, I would have a lot more space after forgiving.
I love that. That's so simple and clear. You're right. If the hard drive is filled with too much, you know, memory, it doesn't run well.
Yeah.
That's the exact same thing. That's beautiful. Yeah. I love that. I'm going to use that again in my teaching. So forgiveness is like clearing out the computer.
I might have heard it from you, and I'm just giving it back to you because my memory's getting worse as I get older, but you can have it. Thank you for giving me credit anyway. So any other advice for listeners who are leaders who want to be more compassionate for how to use forgiveness?
Yeah. You know, it's going to feel hard. It's going to feel too simple. It's going to feel like it's not working, but what if your commitment really is to be more compassionate and to really be clearer and a better leader and someone who really does care about people, then the forgiveness is going to be doing its work on your computer system. And the more you do it, it's just, you're going to see people more authentically. You're going to be able to become vulnerable in situations where you never could in the past. Like it's going to start working for you in your relationships. That's what I want. I want you to have your relationships be getting better, because that's going to be the proof in your life that something's happening that's powerful. So pay attention to your upsets. Pay attention to your upsetting thoughts. Is that the way to say it? Notice them. When I'm judging, pay attention to your judgments. Oh, I'm really judging this person. That's not helpful. Even if you think you're right. And by the way, that's the biggest thing that keeps people from actually doing forgiveness, Laurel. They'd rather be right than free. The ego wants to be right, but I'm right. That person is an idiot. Well, great. Where is that going to take you? Because that person is an idiot is a disconnection. You will find no compassion in there. So you don't get to call, this is the downside, Laurel. You don't get to call people idiots anymore. You don't get to blame anybody ultimately. And you begin to see that everyone is a gift, because the person I'm judging is the person who's actually, if I'm doing the deeper work, is mirroring to me something that's ready to be forgiven and healed. It's a phenomenal game to play when you flip it over.
You'll have less drama in your life.
Yeah, I'm so verbose. You just sort of get it into one concise.
Well, I mean, I'm learning as we're talking. I think you'll have less drama. You'll complain less. You'll probably be more productive.
And you'll have
be a better
leader.
Go ahead.
People will come into your office because they won't be afraid of you anymore. They'll really know that they've got an ally in you and that cares, and they will work for you better. They will.
Yeah. They'll trust you. They'll trust you and they'll admire you. They may not even know why they admire you, but they will.
Yeah. Yeah. If you want workers to be more productive, forgive them.
I think that's a good final word on our chat today. Tell us how we can learn more about connecting with you and your work.
My website is markanthonylord.me. And I actually do, I've got a whole other line of work that we didn't talk about. I do what is called channeled spiritual healing sessions. I know that every problem has a spiritual solution. And over my journeys and over many blessings of mystical awakening experiences, I have just honed my ability to help others have deeper healing. So if you want a fast track way to really get to some relief inside of you, I offer these sessions one-on-one. Just check out my website, join my mailing list. And, you know, I've got, as things come up, you'll be aware.
Well, thank you for joining me today. I loved our conversation and I got so much out of it as usual. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Laurel.
And that's a heart-wrapped episode of the Compassionate Leader Circle podcast. May your compass always point to kindness.
As you navigate the world, let compassion be your North Star. Join us next time as we continue to redefine success one heart-led decision at a time.
Lead wisely, lead with heart. You can learn more about us at CompassionateLeaderCircle.com.